Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. My name is Tobin, and I'm here again this week with Caleb and Carly, and we are going to do some awesome things today to round out our month of October. We're going to talk about some teen terms. I'm going to talk to you about Olivia Rodrigo, because apparently I am the female pop singer representative of this show. Caleb is going to talk to you about something I actually don't understand at all in NPC streams. And then because that is really creepy and it's weird, we're also going to talk about how we have trusted adults in our life. So this week, I want to start with our trend on Tobin's trend. And we're going to talk about Olivia Rodrigo. A few weeks ago, we talked about Taylor Swift a whole lot. So and that's probably gonna be a recurring bit on this podcast. But her sophomore album came out last month. It's called Guts. Vampire release was one of the big tracks. So get it. It's Halloween, you know. So we're going to talk about Guts today. Because, you know, do you see what we did there?
Yeah. No. So I like it.
Just a couple of things about Olivia, then I'm going to throw it to you guys. So she is a three-time Grammy Award winner. She's the youngest artist ever to debut at the top of the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
This album was produced by Geffen Records with Dan Nigro, and it debuted at number one again, just like her first one did. She did 150,000 pre-order sales, and as of October 1st, she has 302 sales of this album. So before I talk about my thoughts on it, what are your thoughts on maybe the album or Olivia in general?
I didn't even know pre-sales were a thing. Like, I didn't know people still bought albums.
I think it was considering, like, well, in the, yeah, when I looked it up, it said that it was like, it talked about, it's like CDs, cassettes, and vinyls. Wow. I was like, who's like, what, cassettes are coming back? And so, yeah, I had no idea. So
but most of the time they give away stuff, though. Like when you pre-order, you also get the special thing. And so I think that's why it pushes people to pre-order.
But that is still in the world where everything's so available, like on Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff, to still get that much. I don't know too much about her. Like, I'd probably recognize some of her songs, but some of my students talk, and that, the music world is where I feel the oldest. It's because I'm so disconnected on it. And so, like, I recognize she's big, and I just caught up to Taylor Swift. So,
oh, yikes. I loved some of her, like, Driver's License, big fan. Like, I think she came on, like, just really hot. Like, it was like, who is this? And then she had, like, this incredible hit. And I've heard Vampire. I don't know if I've heard a lot of the other things from this album, but I know she's big, and I know she's announced a tour that's also already getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, I failed on my tickets for that one, so
bummer.
Yeah, it wasn't as near as insane as Taylor Swift, but it was pretty close to it. The thing about her, if you don't remember, is I was actually still teaching whenever she, I think it was like 2021, I think is whenever the first came out. So her big thing was she was on the, God, this is the dumbest show ever, but High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Okay.
Like, or something like that. Like, it was just like the musical, the series on TV. Like, it was so dumb. But she was on that show and really popular. And she was dating somebody else in that show, I believe. I don't know his name. So, sorry. I didn't do that much research. But basically, the song Driver's License came out, and it was kind of like a breakup diss track. And, like, listen, those things are obviously, they resonate with teenagers big time, obviously. But if you peek behind the lyrics, the music itself is just, it's beautiful. Like, the song is insanely good. And like really, like, it's really emotional. It's really strong. And so it was kind of funny because I was still teaching music at the time. And so, like, I was just messing around one day playing the piano, and one of my kids was like, is that Driver's License? And I thought I was like in on it and nobody else was yet. And they were like, dude, and it's like, that was kind of like my thing that you were with students. They just loved that whole album. And so, it's really good. This one, I think, so, you know, I've talked before that sophomore albums are typically huge letdowns because they, you know, they'll come out with a big heavy hitter, and then sophomore albums are kind of rushed a little bit. I think this one's really good. Like, if you listen to it from top to bottom, it's got some good stuff on it, and, you know, just as emotional, just as powerful. She said she did took a lot of influence from Avril Lavigne on this one.
You got it.
Yeah, thank you. It's a little bit more energetic than her last one, I think, too, which is really good. So,
because I think I always, like, in my mind, I was like, should that a Disney star? And then it was, for me, like, I reckon, I think Driver's License, I've heard some of the big ones, but
Yeah, and I think that was kind of part of the shock of it too, was that, you know, like with Ariana Grande and Selena Gomez and stuff, like they kind of phased out of Disney, whereas she was like, I'm done, and then here's an album with very adult stuff, like adult messages and like breakups and stuff, and also a bunch of F-bombs and like in in words that, you know, normally Disney stars don't say right after they get out of the Disney show. And so it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction of like, I'm here, I'm not a kid, I'm not a Disney kid, I'm not a Musketeer, so listen to this and let's go. And so, I mean, whether you like that or not, because of the language, whatever, it was just, it was a little different than what some of the other, like Demi Lovato and all those other guys have done as they've left the Disney circle.
Yeah. And I think while Tobin is apparently the female pop star expert of the group, I think my expertise is on really weird YouTube and TikTok trends. So we'll jump right into NPC streams, which have been around for a while. And I think that people kind of assumed, okay, this is going to like go out in a blaze, like it's going to burn bright and quick and then kind of go out. And while that is true, it has stuck around, I think, longer than anyone expected. There was a time like at its peak where if you go to like TikTok live, you would scroll and every single one would be a NPC stream, which, if you don't know what it is, like NPC is like non-playable character. It's like a term that became popular like in video games, because basically video games will have NPCs that aren't controlled by the player, and they're usually pretty dumb because of like limited coding, and like you don't want to put in a lot of effort on a character you can't even play. So they kind of repeat the things that they say, like their code only have like specific lines. And this started, I think it was like Pinky Doll was like the first, she was a TikToker to do it. What she does is she sits there in front of the camera. The way TikTok Live works is people can like donate to you. And the way they donate is like through emotes. So like roses, I think there's like spaceships. You can get like a crown. I'm not really big into TikTok Live, but that is how you like donate to a person streaming. So the point of the NPC stream is you sit there, if someone donates like roses, you say a line. Usually it's like roses. So again, yeah, okay. I'll give you roses. Roses. Thanks for the share. Thanks for the share. King with a crown. King with the crown. It's
that is so weird.
It's very weird.
So it's kind of, it reminds me of like ASMR type stuff, but fake weird.
I think it is like just perpetual stimulation. Like they are always saying something and being weird. Usually they'll be holding weird objects. The lady, like Pinky Doll, whatever her name is, that made it, had like 50,000 viewers at like concurrent viewers at once, and like she's there holding like a straightening iron and like popping popcorn kernels in it while she's doing it all. So it's just like a lot going on at once, and you're seeing like these donations pop up on screen. And I think for people watching, it's just like, whoa, this is weird, but I'm also being like visually, like auditory stimulated like this whole time. Like there's something always happening.
I think it was her that I saw, like I saw somebody that was talking in another TikTok about why they do that, and like gave the breakdown, and they said, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like an astronomical, like when she said how much she made in one day doing that, I was like, well, okay, hold on. How do I do this? Because like that, because it was like, you know what? I'll be annoying for 5 hours if it's going to get me
your
that much money.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Like, it was thousands of dollars for 4 hours of work. And, and it's just, you know, and if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, what is wrong with our society? What's going on? Like, I mean, yes, I also agree with you, but also like you would think immediately that it's probably inappropriate. Like they're doing inappropriate things. And I'm sure there are versions of that, but it's not, it's just this random like sayings over and over again. It makes zero sense to me. Like I think I've officially reached the point where I'm just like, I don't have a clue what's going on here. Like
what was funny though, is like there were people this may sound like normal, like middle-aged men just like doing that. because it was like people were like, it was like a money cheat code where you could go live and do an NPC stream and make thousands of dollars, which is also impressive, I guess, to just say the same thing over and over and over again for like 4 or 5 hours straight and get your bag. Good, like, you know, I can't hate, don't hate the player, hate the game on that one, but it is crazy. And I've seen it too on, you know, streamers, they'll like, or YouTubers will like do a competition and whoever loses, the punishment is you have to do an NPC stream and stuff like that, which I think is funny. But yeah, it is crazy. And like Tobin said, the amount of money that people were getting just by doing something that doesn't make sense to me. So, sure. But people liked it enough to donate.
Sure. When I think of NPCs, I think of the little wee people that like sit there and like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's essentially like, what it is. Yeah.
Move their heads constantly. Yeah. Okay. So I do have a teen term that I want to throw out here that I've seen some in this. I don't know. Teen terms sometimes are so funny to me because I don't fully understand them. But this one is fax, no printer. Like fax, like F-A-X, no printer.
Like a fax machine.
Ironic. Because they don't even know what that is, but yeah.
Okay. No, they have no idea. But it means like you're speaking all facts, something's totally true. Like it's so factual, you don't even need a printer.
Okay, so.
Kind of like
no cap?
Cap and no cap. Yes. I would, okay. Yes. I would say similar to no cash.
Okay. We sound so cap, old right now.
Yeah. Listen, my favorite thing to do, especially when like no cap was a big thing, I'd be like, no kizzy. Because apparently that was pretty niche. That was a pretty niche teen term that I was.
Oh my goodness!
I was in on the ground floor of. So, well, but I like saying things like that to make my students just cringe. It's great.
Yeah. So if you want to make a student cringe, say fax no printer.
Yes.
Sometimes when they say something, you're like, yeah, fax no printer.
Yeah. And or just see if what you they want do. The term to go away, just make them hate it that you're saying it. So, yeah.
But then too, if you see that, you know what's going. This is one of those things where when I hear a teen term, I'm like, I've never even heard of that. Then I will start seeing it everywhere. And this is one of those that I keep seeing popping up probably because now it's in my algorithm. So
Yeah. You're
welcome now if it's in yours as well. But that leads us into, I think, a very important part of anyone who is listening, if you're an adult, is I want to talk about trusted adults. So kind of what makes a trusted adult, how we can help teens find trusted adults, whether you're a parent or someone else in a teenager's life. So I think I'm quoting this right. And Sarah, if you're listening, I'm so sorry if this is wrong. But I recently listened to Sarah Brooks, who's a good friend of the pod, if you've been listening for a while. And she did an interview on the Next Gen Now podcast. And she said, you can have people you really like, but they might not be trusted voices. Discernment is so important, which I really like that of just because someone is in your life and just because you like them does not make them trusted. And so even having a conversation with your teens of you might have an adult in your life, but that doesn't mean they're a trusted adult. But like maybe a trusted adult is someone they can talk to, they can text, they can ask for advice. Maybe even that adult can call them out when needed, but mostly it's someone they feel safe with. Mm. And so that's kind of what like the context I'm giving around what are trusted adults. But I want to throw this to y'all. How can we help teenagers find those trusted adults, especially maybe if they don't have that in their home, or they maybe have a parent that they really trust, but outside of that, it's all peers.
It's one of the things that I try to push my students and even parents, right? It's trusted adult is someone outside mom and dad, outside of the family that has some separation. And not to say like, hey, you shouldn't talk to mom and dad, but like, you know, get someone outside of that, that you can bounce ideas out of, that you feel safe with. And I think the big thing that I run into with students is like, they don't feel like the ball is in their court so much of like, I mean, how do you even start that conversation with an adult, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's go grab lunch, right? That seems like a weird thing for a high schooler to do to it's someone, vulnerable. But like, it's vulnerable. And it's something that it takes to do though. Of, hey, if you want, and I think too, there's this thing where it's like, I have to have a trusted adult to talk to if something's going on. But if I don't have anything really big going on in my life right now, do I need to seek out a trusted adult? And it's big pushing on, hey, find a trusted adult, go grab lunch, coffee, and you don't even have to talk about anything big. You can just catch up. How's the week going, to build that trust when something big does happen? And I think for me, looking back on like my experience, our dad on my 13th birthday had a bunch of adults that he viewed as trusted adults or could be trusted adults for me. And we just like went on a hike together. And it's always funny. I always joke with my dad that anytime he did something like this or like wanted to get breakfast with me, it was always a trap for like the talk because that's how he got me on the talk. He took me to Dairy Queen and go-karts and then laid the start of the talk on me. Just ruined my trust.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the sex talk. Yeah, sorry. But you know, I go and it was great, right? Just these men in my life that my dad trusted, that I trusted, and I didn't view them as that until that point. Then it kind of put them on my radar, right? Of, oh, these are people that I can go to. And so I think as parents, you can even, you know, not necessarily say, hey, son, daughter, you need to go get lunch with this person, but tap that who you view as a trusted adult on the shoulder and say, hey, can you go grab lunch?
Yeah. If it's coming from the parent, the kids are going to be skeptical. If it's coming from the, if the person that is intentionally reaching out, even if it's through the parent behind closed doors, like it'll mean a whole lot more in the connection as well. One thing to also think about too, if you're a parent, is if you're a single parent or you are co-parenting through a divorce or something, keep in mind that like if you are a mother and your child, your teen doesn't have a dad in the picture or doesn't have a dad like regularly in the picture, like you need to find some trusted men to show your daughter or son what healthy relationships with men look like and vice versa. So if you're a single dad with a daughter in the house that doesn't have a mom in the picture, like find some women to be with that, you know, son or daughter that they can see. They need to have healthy relationships with people that aren't just you. And if they're not seeing the, you know, a dad or a mom in the picture, then it's really important for them to see what it's like to have a healthy relationship with that kind of situation. And also it's okay that you aren't the only person that gets all the tea. Like you don't have to, like, and sometimes listen, you probably don't want to be like, they're going to start getting in situations where you're like, man, like I don't want to know all these things. And as long as they're being safe and as long as they're being guided by people that you trust, you need to trust that those people will come to you if it's important. If not, you need to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because in teen life groups, we deal with this too, of sometimes those kids just need a sounding board that's not their parents. Mm-hmm. And that's as a parent, that's hard to accept sometimes, but it's also like showing them that whenever they are not kids anymore and when they're adults and they have to go out and find these relationships and find these people, it's a lot easier for them to do than if they have, first time they ever have to do that is when you're not around all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll say too, I think ask your teen, who do you like to talk to that's an adult in your life that you trust, and maybe start there. And I think it's good for adults and parents to identify other adults that they trust, but ask your teen because they probably have someone in their life. Maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a coach, a youth minister, a parent of a friend. Maybe it's an uncle, like something like that. Like ask them those questions. But I also think it's so important. Something I ask in all my teen life groups is like, at school, do you have someone? And I think that's where it's really key of like, make sure they have people at different stages of life, different seasons of life in different locations. Because if something happens at school and they can't get a hold of you, who are you going to go to? Mm-hmm. And like start, I don't know, have that conversation so that they have in their mind like, oh, I do have someone that's the counselor or it's my basketball coach or it's the art teacher or something like that, that you have that can go. When you look at research, one trusted adult can make a huge difference in the life of a teen, in the life of any kid, but especially teenagers. But having five trusted adults is ideal. So if you think about that, mom and dad can't be it because that's only at the most two. And so be thinking with your teenager, how can we get them to five? And maybe it starts with, if they don't have anyone, one or two, in building up to that five before they graduate.
I think, too, it's hard for them to see the people that are around them. We did a small group with my high schoolers kind of about this. Like, you need people to talk to. And one of them, I was like, what keeps you from that? And a few of them were like, oh, I don't have anyone. And it's like, I promise you, right, that they are like there, like they are present. And, you know, your small group leaders, your people at school that love and support you. Yeah, maybe aunts and uncles. And so I think it can be hard for them to even see it. But starting that conversation of, hey, who would you talk to outside of me or your like outside of your parents? Who would you talk to if you needed help or if you needed someone to trust?
Yeah. And on that note, let's talk about the other side of it. If you're an adult that wants to be a trusted adult or needs to be a trusted adult, like what Caleb just said is true. Like a lot of times the kids will say, I don't have anyone. So that means that you need to be intentional about it. And, and listen, you're dealing with kids that don't know how to find these things or see these things when they actually have it. One thing that my kid has, my oldest kid, my best friend texts him weekly. He'll text him. He'll text him every Monday morning saying, hey, here's a note of encouragement. Here's a Bible verse. Here's a, hey, love you. We hope you have a good week. And like my 14-year-old, there's times when he just like, hey, whatever. And he just kind of like double taps it and gives a tap back. But then there's sometimes that he's actually like reached out to him and said, you know, like, hey, like I'm struggling with this or hey, like I'm dealing with this. I didn't ask my best friend to do that. Like I didn't even know he was doing that until I was looking through my son's phone one day. And like, those are little things that like, I'm trying to be better about as well of just being intentional of like, if you know that there's kids that need extra, even if they don't need it, like maybe this, just if you have a relationship with that parent or the kid from some other venue, like find healthy and safe ways to reach out to them. And it might just be a simple check-in once a week.
I think it can be easy to say, well, okay, if they need something, they'll ask me. Or even to look at kids and say, they won't. First, they won't. And then it can be easy to also look at kids, students, and they have people.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they might not. And being able to if they're not going to ask and if they don't have those trusted adults already in their lives, they're not going to tell anyone that they don't because they probably don't even know they need to. And so, like you said, being proactive.
And then whenever you do get that relationship with them and you do start talking with them, just listen. Yeah. Like you don't have to fix all their problems. Be encouraging. Listen, now if you want to offer advice, but your job is not to fix anything. It's just to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And like, this is going to be the hardest part about this, especially if you have parents giving you pressure. It's not your job to also go and be a spy for the parents.
That's big.
Like, because one of the big things that I see daily in these teen life groups is they don't feel like they can trust anyone. And so if you are a person of trust with this teen, whether you're a teacher or a mentor or a youth minister or whatever, and then everything they find out everything they're saying is going back to their parents, then it's over. Like you've lost that. Like obviously there are exceptions to that rule. Like if they're hurting themselves or they're talking about hurting others, like you need to report that and tell parents whatever. But like, think about the value of keeping that to yourself. Because you can say, because if someone's telling you like, hey, this is what I'm going through, and you know that the parents need to be brought into it, what you need to do instead is encourage that student to have that conversation with the parents, because then that also builds the trust between the teen and the parents as well.
Sure. And maybe that's something too, where you can say, hey, I really think you need to talk to your parents about this. Let me know if you want me to go with you.
Yeah.
And use that as you can be a buffer if you need to. But I think you're right. If you can let the teenager know first, or as you're talking, be like, hey, this is bigger than me. And I hate that. But I think this is something that we need to talk to your parents about. Mm-hmm. But don't just go tell the parents. But if it's something small or something, you don't have to tell the parents. I had people in my life that I would go and talk about boys or talk about friend stuff. And I'd go spend the night at their house and play with their kids. And I knew my parents trusted her, so any advice that she gave me, I could keep. But I also knew she wasn't going to go talk to my parents. Not necessarily that I was trying to hide anything, but they're just, I don't know. Sometimes when you're a teenager, you don't want to talk to your parents about certain things that are going on. And so having another adult that you can go gush about a boy over, and they can listen, and you know, like, hey, whatever I said to them is going to stay there, and it's going to stay safe, is really big.
Yeah, and I have an example of this from my life whenever I had somebody in my life that when I was a teen that I could do this with, okay? Because me and my dad have had some off and on parts of our relationship. And one of the things that happened is this person showed up for me when I was a teenager. And then as I got to be an adult, when I was in my mid 20s, I went through a life crisis and I was not ready to talk to my parents about it yet, because I knew it was going to open the lid and it was going to mm-hmm. be a crisis. And it was, and I was going to get, I needed to process it first with sure. someone else before I went to my parents. So I went to this person, and what ended up happening is this person went with me, like you said, Carly, to my parents. And we talked through my life crisis with that person in the room, because I needed a safety net. And my parents handled it great. And it wasn't like they weren't going to, but I needed to be able to do it without the emotion of the parent side of it first. And mm-hmm. like, that's an example of someone that showed up for me as a teenager that was still with me throughout my life too. Mm-hmm. And it's still to this day with me as well. And that's so awesome. It's not just what you're doing. It's not like a clock in, clock out thing. Like, this is a big deal. Like you are making a connection that will probably hopefully be a long connection that is going to walk with them. Cause like now, because of that connection, that's what I'm trying to do for people that I went through at my age as well. Yeah. And it's kind of like a ripple effect for me as well, of trying to be more intentional about that stuff.
And that trust is built too. You know, I think a lot of times it's like, okay, I know some students going through a big thing and I want to be there for them. It's a hard leap to just jump right into just that big stuff and
yeah. mm-hmm.
those big life crisis, right? And it's hard for a teenager to jump into that. And so it's where kind of that, even if nothing big's going on, I'm gonna still seek out and yeah. let you know that I'm there and intentional with you. So that way you know that I'll be there in the big stuff too. And mm-hmm. you can't just expect that they'll just come to you in the big stuff, or that you only have to right. be there in those times of desperate need. Because if you're only there for that, it's not likely that they'll even, you know, feel trust enough to reach out to you in those times.
Yeah.
And I think that's where consistency is key. And showing up is key. And even things like, if they tell you something that's going on, remember it.
Yeah.
And sometimes teenagers are hard to get a hold of. And if they are seemingly ghosting you, keep reaching out. Hey, let's do lunch. Hey, I'm yeah. buying. Show yeah. up. Hey, I'll buy you a Sonic drink and let's go hang out somewhere and talk. Or there have been times where I've met with teenagers where they've told me like, hey, I've got this big thing coming up, or I've got this doctor's appointment that I'm worried about, or I'm going to have a conversation and we'll set a date. I'm going to have a conversation with my parents on this date. I put it in my calendar as a reminder mm-hmm. and I remember to text them on that day of like, hey, I'm praying mm-hmm. for you, or hey, how did that go? I wanted to check in. Do you need anything? Can we get together again? So even yeah. if you have to do tricks like that to remember, it's so yeah. important, because if you tell them I'm going to follow up with you and then you don't, they might not come back the yeah. next time.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think that kind of finding a balance of like forcing yourself in there. Like, I remember when Dad got diagnosed with Parkinson's, I had readily available people around me to talk to. But as a dumb high school student, I was like, I need to do this on my own, right? Mm-hmm. And very stubborn on, well, I don't feel like I can talk to anyone because I'm kind of scared about what I'll say or the feelings that I don't want to deal with. And, you know, having someone step in and say, hey, I know that you're going through this. Let's we're gonna meet and maybe not even talk about that, but you just need someone. And,
yeah. So this is kind of a heavy, like it can be pretty heavy. It's a lot of like intense information. The first step to that is just to show up. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. that's all you gotta do. It doesn't have to be anything heavy. Yeah, and just absolutely. Like Caleb said, just be with them. So if you liked what you heard, or this has maybe been helpful for you, go ahead and subscribe on all podcast platforms or on our YouTube. And we love talking with you guys every week. So don't forget to come back next week. And the most important thing for this is that teenagers are not a problem to be solved.